Hello, this is Paul Herbert. For the next hour, you will hear The Agony of Agnes, the story of the June storm that spread havoc throughout the central Susquehanna Valley. You will hear how the people of the central Susquehanna Valley gathered together to give help and relief, to provide emergency care, to mobilize against the oncoming storm. Everywhere there was disruption, as electricity, water, transportation, and other means of life as we generally know them were either cut off or diminished greatly. Like everyone else, the staff of WMLP was affected by the disaster. We recognized that we had a public responsibility to fulfill, that being to provide continuous information for whatever situations occurred. Some of what you are about to hear has been condensed from over 100 hours of on-the-air recordings. Using our library of tape recordings, you will be able to hear how the first emergency broadcasts were made from our downtown Milton studios. Then how we were forced to evacuate those studios in Milton and move to our transmitter site across the Susquehanna River and just north of Lewisburg, and continue the emergency broadcasting under the most adverse conditions. The Agony of Agnes is a story that now seems like a bad dream that never really happened except with the victims. For them, it is a nightmare that will never fully fade from memory. For the staff of WMLP, Agnes will be remembered as an event that placed the responsibility for lives and property on our collective shoulders. Despite the fact that commercial power failed at every WMLP facility, our FM transmitter site, the downtown studio in Milton, and the AM transmitter site, WMLP was never off the air more than the few minutes it took to switch to auxiliary power generators. For 5 days, 24 hours a day, WMLP provided the most accurate appraisal of weather conditions, rescue for countless lives, direction for evacuation crews, the marking of the river crest, and finally cleanup and rehabilitation information to the victims of Agnes. Agnes became a concern for WMLP weathercaster Vic Michael long before most in the area even had a hint of the disaster that was soon to come.
You know, I vividly remember watching on the surface weather maps that I used for preparing our weather programs on WMLP as the Hurricane Agnes came ashore down in Florida. My weather programs, I hinted that it looked as though this storm could hug the coast and come up and actually have some effect on our area. Of course, little did I realize what effect it was really going to have. Because coastal storms, you know, do odd things, and at first it was just a storm that I was watching. But then as the storm began to get closer to us, it gave a hint of its true colors as it started to really dump rain down in the southern states as it came northward. By Wednesday, the Weather Bureau was issuing flash flood watches for our immediate area, and we issued those here on WMLP on Wednesday afternoon. Then I went home, and I'll tell you the truth, I really had a feeling of apprehension about the situation. As the night progressed and the intensity of the rain outside my home increased to almost cloudburst proportions, I really began to sense that a disaster was in the making. Now, for weeks I'd been watching the watershed saturate with almost daily rainfall. And now, almost unbelievably, it was raining about 3/4 of an inch an hour across portions of our watershed. You know, I never slept on Wednesday night, and by early Thursday morning, after checking all the sources I had at my disposal, about 6 o'clock in the morning, I conferred with Jim Jacobs, who was on the air that morning on his telephone, and he gave me a report of his findings on the way down to work that morning, and putting everything all together, I really became convinced that we were in the midst of a great natural disaster.
Despite threats of arrest for unnecessarily alarming the public, Vic Michael disagreed with the official river forecasters and forecast many hours ahead of any other source that Agnes had the capability to cause the worst flood in the history of the Susquehanna River Basin.
First of all, we feel that what is happening at this moment may turn out to be one of the worst disasters to hit the WMLP listening area.
If you were listening the morning of Thursday, June 22nd, you heard it like this.
Under the circumstances that the rain is continuing to fall and we're having the very rapid rise of almost a foot an hour or better in the river, it's my best estimate that Milton may see the worst flood that it has ever experienced. Therefore, the idea of a crest occurring this evening at 6 o'clock seems almost impossible to me at this moment. I do not personally see a crest on the river until perhaps as much as 18 to 24 hours after the rain stops, because all of these small streams ultimately are going to have to end up in the Susquehanna River because of the fact that the ground is very saturated and just simply cannot hold any water at all. So all of this water is going to eventually end up in the river. And so the predicted river stage of 25 to 26 feet for about 6 o'clock tonight seems very reasonable, but I do not feel that that will be a crest. The river will continue to rise until the rain slackens off. And so I would again urge that everyone in the area take all of the necessary steps to protect their homes, property, and their own lives.
And so, as Thursday, June 22nd, unfolded, Agnes moved in. That morning, J.J. reported the beginning of the destruction.
There have been many landslides in the area. Some have been cleaned off the roads, but other hillsides and rock slides are about ready to collapse. The bridge in Muncie Valley at the intersection of Routes 220 and 42 is out. It has collapsed. Whatever you do, stay home. Don't go out.
Governor Schaap then made it official.
Pennsylvania Governor Milton Schaap has declared a state of extreme emergency in all flooded areas of the state. As Tropical Storm Agnes inches northward, ravaging a number of communities, Schaap has directed civil defense workers to help the stricken communities. He also has asked that immediate aid be given through the employment of temporary workers, the rental of equipment, and by entering into contracts with private citizens who can provide help. The flood warning continued today. The Flood Forecasting Service in Harrisburg has forecasted a crest of the Susquehanna River at Milton at between 25 and 26 feet at 6 p.m. this evening. However, according to our weather observer, who you just heard, Victor Michael, he feels the crest will come much later on, and it really could be disastrous.
WMLP's Robert Michael gets a report for some people to evacuate.
Frank Hartzell, the civil defense director here in Milton, has called WMLP and has again urged people who are in the areas that flood to start right now. Right now.
Also in Milton, the National Guardsmen are called up.
The National Guard headquarters will be set up at the Independent Fire Company here in Milton. All guardsmen, there are two groups, and all guardsmen who are able to report are asked to do so.
You are listening to The Agony of Agnes. It is the morning of June 22nd, 1972, and the weather report tells it all.
Flash flood warnings still in effect for this afternoon. Rain, heavy at times, ending tonight. Temperatures this afternoon in the 60s. Lows overnight in the low to mid-50s. Mainly cloudy Friday, chance of rain, highs in the low to mid-60s. Chances of rain near 100% this afternoon, 80% tonight, and 50% on Friday. Currently here in downtown Milton, still raining heavily. The temperature at 63, the humidity 96%. Winds are west at 14 miles per hour. Barometer falling again at 29.30.
As 11:30 in the morning approaches, Interstate 80 is closed to all traffic.
Route 80 East is closed. Both lanes between Milton and Danville on Route 80 are closed. There's no way in or out of Milton on Route 80. And as I've been saying since 6 a.m. this morning, stay home. Don't attempt to travel. You live in town and you feel that you'd like to help. Your home is all safe. You're away from the river. Walk to your nearby fire hall or rescue area and volunteer your services. No vehicular traffic whatsoever, because you're only going to get hung up.
Reports from other towns in the central Susquehanna Valley begin to filter in.
Danville's emergency siren sounded at 4 o'clock this morning to awaken residents and warn them of the flood danger. Firemen went house to house along flooded streets to arouse residents and evacuate them. Local police in the communities affected all over the central Susquehanna Valley have asked all available manpower to report to their respective city halls on foot for assignment.
One of the apparent problems of the emergency presents itself early. Communication becomes difficult, if not impossible. As a result, vital information is held up.
Latest word we have is that the flood forecasting service in Harrisburg has forecasted a crest on the Susquehanna River at Milton at between 25 and 26 feet at 6 p.m. this evening. However, they are predicting a crest of 17 feet at Williamsport at 10 p.m., so there is some discrepancy, and I understand the people at the borough office are trying still to reach the flood forecasting service in Harrisburg, and they still haven't been able to do so. So this prediction we are reading you will, in all possibilities, have to be increased. It'll have to be revised.
Everywhere the call is for two suddenly priceless elements. They are manpower and moving equipment.
There's an open truck in a warehouse that is available. Have a closed-in truck in the area. Report to Milton Borough Hall. They need these trucks badly. Badly in need of a truck. They have manpower. They have a place to move furniture and appliances if they can find a truck.
The city of Sunbury, in for a long siege, reports it is isolated. The reporter is Neil Conrad.
We were told that it was still possible to get from Sunbury to Northumberland, but then it's impossible to get out of Northumberland, so that doesn't leave too much there. So I guess the way the situation stands right now, the city of Sunbury is isolated.
Sunbury and Northumberland are not alone, however. Lewisburg adds itself to the growing list.
There is no traffic going through Lewisburg at all. They are turning all cars back. They are blocked off at Route 15 at Moore Avenue and Route 15 and 4th Street. No traffic going through Lewisburg. So if you're attempting to get through Lewisburg, forget it. If you are in need of a place to stay in the Lewisburg area, if you're from out of town or if you're in some kind of emergency situation, there are places available to stay at the senior high school. At the junior high school, they're using Davis Gymnasium. That's at Bucknell University, which is along Route 15. Also, the Armory is in operation for food and shelter. The Armory is along Route 15 south, if you can get that way. It would be advisable, though, that if you were going to try to get to these places, try not to drive, but to walk to these places, if at all possible. There is no way out of Lewisburg at the moment if you're in the area and you're traveling. The only thing that would possibly be open is 80 West. 80 East is completely blocked off.
Also from Lewisburg comes the first report of a loss of life.
As of 3 p.m. this afternoon, Lewisburg police said that four people are missing and feared dead due to the high waters. No names can be released because the people are missing.
The staff of WMLP begins to show signs of the emergency strain, and they almost forget what day it is as June 22nd drags on. Next, the Milton mayor reports on evacuation.
WMLP time, 20 minutes before 6 on this, what is it, Thursday night?
It's Thursday, yeah.
Thursday night. Mayor Evan Williams of Milton has told pay-setting news that crews are working to get all the low-lying areas evacuated. Anyone needing help in Milton is urged to call the borough office at 7:40.
WNLP weathercaster Vic Michael next reports on the weather, and the news is not good.
Agnes has moved up the coast, as we forecast back early in the week we thought it would do. It's done just that, and done it in an even more spectacular way than we ever had anticipated. What has happened is that there's a cold front hanging down out of Canada. The southern tip of that cold front is hanging virtually right across the Williamsport area. The combination of the cold air from that front being overrun by the warm tropical air out of the storm Agnes, which is now centered just south of the Long Island coast, and it's moving north-northwestward. The combination of the tropical air out of that feeding into the cold air is what is producing our rain showers.
As the weather report comes in, WMLP's John Knight reports the electrifying news from Lewisburg that confirms our worst fears.
That Gordon Hoofnagle, the safety director, was attempting a rescue of a Mr. and Mrs. Joseph Murphy of Lewisburg this morning. The boat capsized and all three went into the water. Mr. Murphy was rescued and taken to Evan Hospital, where he was treated and released.
but Mr. Gordon Hoofnagle and Mrs. Murphy have not been seen since this morning when the boat capsized. Also, Mrs. Minium of Lewisburg is missing as the wall of her cellar collapsed while she was attempting to remove items from the basement.
It is 8 p.m., Thursday evening. As Jim Jacobs paints a verbal picture of downtown Milton.
The water is in front of the post office, and the borough hall is lapping up into Lincoln Park behind the First National Bank. It has inundated the section down at Center and Elm, and they were the places that I've seen, certainly throughout the borough of Milton. There is serious flooding going on at this very moment. In fact, when the river reaches the stage of 2750, most of the borough west of the railroad and some sections along Limestone Run to the rear of Center Street, ending about Marsh Park, will be flooded.
Even the Williamsport Weather Bureau has difficulty keeping up with the incoming reports.
Just received at Williamsport, the river stage at Williamsport is 23.05 and rising. They predicted crest at Williamsport at tomorrow morning at 7 a.m., 21 feet. The reading now at Williamsport already exceeds the predicted crest by some 2 feet. And that's not all. We just had this word in from Hillsgrove, which I believe is on the Loyal Sox, just phoned in to the Weather Bureau at Williamsport. They report heavy rain in progress at this time on the Loyal Sox. And we quote, "The flooding up here," this is from Hillsgrove, "the flooding up here is the worst I have ever seen since 1932. Once again, I would like to point out what Vic has been saying all day long, and we've received so much criticism about unnecessarily alarming people here, and that we were trying to scare people, but my friends, take precautions. This is very, very serious."
In Shamokin, Chief of Police Robert Wolf declares martial law.
Wolf says he took the action to protect homes evacuated by 300 residents due to flooding and to keep people off the streets. Before the emergency order was issued today, an unidentified girl was swept to her apparent death from a tree where she had taken refuge from flood waters with a male companion. More than 100 Pennsylvania National Guard troops are on duty in Shamokin. State police helicopters are being used to rescue some 30 persons from a campsite nearby. Shamokin Creek, 3 feet over the flood stage and overflowing for the first time in history, according to Wolf, was a fearsome sight. Water was completely black because of extensive coal mine drainings. The tops of cars are moving among debris visible as they floated down the creek. Once again, martial law has been declared in Shamokin by Police Chief Robert Wolf. Neil?
Thank you, John. We have a rather swift emergency here. There is a family stranded in the Bucknell View trailer court. Water is in all the trailers in the court right now. The Ben Weaver family is still stranded in the court. It's the last trailer in the third row of the court toward the Lewisburg Bridge, so if we could get a boat down there from the Montandon School as quickly as possible, please, and confirm it then by calling WMLP.
Many will remember Neil Conrad breaking in with that first announcement of people still stranded in a trailer on that part of the Lewisburg area. At 9 p.m., the Milton downtown looks this way to Neil Conrad.
I just checked the situation here on Front Street in Milton. North Front Street appears to be flooded all the way from Broadway North. The alley running down behind the post office is also flooded. Elm Street is flooded from about the Northern Central Bank south.
You are listening to The Agony of Agnes, a playback of tape recordings from actual on-the-air broadcasts made during the June disaster in the central Susquehanna Valley. I am Paul Herbert. It is Thursday evening, June 22nd, 9:30 p.m., when Vic Michael gives a bleak report that rainfall in the watershed north and west of Williamsport will add to the already serious flooding of the Susquehanna.
The indications are now that the predicted crest for tomorrow are going to be exceeded by approximately 5 feet as of this time. So that means that Milton will definitely be going over 30 feet with almost certainty now. The rain is continuing quite heavy, as has already been reported on the air, up in the watershed area. And this is what I had on my earlier weather forecast tonight, that while the rain would be tapering off a little bit to the south of it, to the areas north and west, especially in the watershed area. The rain would perhaps even intensify a bit up there. And that's exactly what's happened, and that's the reason now that the Williamsport stage has climbed so rapidly. The rain up in that watershed area is what's contributing to that and what's forcing that up. Now, up until now, that area of the watershed was not receiving the bulk of the rain. So that it's almost certain now that this water is going to have to come downstream, and that the predicted forecast of 28 feet for tomorrow morning is going to be off. And as I say, that we got it unofficially, but from a very reliable Weather Bureau source, that until the next official bulletin comes out from the Flood Forecasting Service, it would be reasonable to assume about another 5 feet onto that crest, which would make Milton go up to something like 33 feet. And that may not be the end if we don't get a stop to the rain pretty soon. And it's still raining and giving us a rough time. Now, the rain has slackened off a bit in areas to the south. The reports are that the rain is about half of what it was earlier this afternoon. We were getting about a third of an inch of rain, about 0.33 inches of rain per hour. It's now down to somewhere in the tenth of an inch to two-tenths of an inch. It's some drop. It's not enough. Until it ceases completely, we will continue to get a rise in the river.
The River Forecasting Service at Harrisburg then confirms the WMLP report.
A severe record-breaking flood is in progress on the Susquehanna River near Harrisburg. The forecast at Harrisburg, repeating at Harrisburg, is for 32 feet Friday morning. At Harrisburg, this is 3 feet above the maximum of record set in March of 1936.
1 hour later, at 10 p.m., the crest for Milton is predicted, and it is 1936 all over again.
The crest right now predicted by Harrisburg, this is official, 36.6 at 10 p.m. tomorrow. This is the shocking news for Milton, 36.6 at 10 p.m. tomorrow.
What is even more shocking, that's exactly the crest on the big flood in 1936.
That's right.
You just heard it. Officially, at 10 p.m. tomorrow night at Milton, the river will crest at 36.6. The prediction 36.6 is the exact crest of the flood of 1936.
Working through the night, WMLP's Don Steese, who is to lose his home to the flood, reminds all that life is the most important possession we have.
As Vic Michael said earlier today, and as we have been saying throughout the day, this is going to turn out to be the worst natural disaster ever to hit this part of Pennsylvania. Going to be a lot of homeless people out there, and I can definitely sympathize with you because I am one of them. But what can you do? Let's just hope that we don't have any more fatalities or injuries.
The situation in Lewisburg is pretty much the same everywhere.
Now, specifically in Lewisburg tonight, the situation is rapidly approaching that of other towns throughout WMLP land, that of an isolated area. So if you live in Lewisburg, or if you have relatives or friends in Lewisburg, let me urge you on behalf of the many people who are working hard to preserve order and discipline that you not make any unnecessary trips in your car. Also, if you have been able to stabilize your own situation, you might either tonight or tomorrow morning try to see if you can be of some help to your immediate neighbors. The more we all work together, the more we can get through this thing in the easiest manner. Finally, please, on behalf of the phone company, people throughout the area, please do not use the telephone unnecessarily. The temptation is great to call friends and relatives just to compare notes on experiences that you may have had today, but that only ties up the lines for those who need them for emergency use, and there are many who are truly in an emergency situation tonight. Throughout the day, I heard people in Lewisburg who were trying to do a job, blocking off roads, getting basements pumped out and whatnot, saying that they were having trouble using telephone lines because other people were tying them up.
As the early morning hours of Friday, June 23rd approach, the reports are the same for Sunbury, Williamsport, Danville, and Milton.
Just in from the Flood Forecasting Service, record or near record stages are being forecast through the entire Susquehanna River Valley. Sunbury flood stage is 24 feet. At 7 p.m., the reading was 26.2 in Sunbury. The crest forecast now for Sunbury is 34.6 feet. At midnight,
tomorrow night. Williamsport, the flood stage there is 20 feet. At 7 p.m. tonight, Williamsport's reading was 23.1. The forecast crest for 7 p.m. tomorrow night, 32 feet. Danville, the flood stage there is 20 feet. The 7 p.m. reading at Danville, 26.2 feet. The expected crest at 8 p.m. tomorrow night, 30 feet. And here in Milton, the Federal State Flood Forecasting Service now predicts a crest of 36.6 feet at 10 p.m. tomorrow night.
Terry Lloyd makes an appeal for the downtown Milton merchants.
I've been busy helping merchants in the Milton area move their merchandise out of their stores all afternoon, and most merchants in downtown Milton are in need of help. So if you can walk to downtown Milton and would like to help, they would appreciate your help.
That family that was trapped down at the Bucknellview Trailer Court had not yet been evacuated, and they were sitting on the roof of their mobile home. The water was up to the roof of the mobile home down at the Bucknellview Mobile Home Court, and the people still had not been evacuated. And if anyone out there has a boat that they could get down there and get those people, they are on the roof.
A family in Montandon still has not been rescued. Meanwhile, upriver in Montgomery, an urgent call for help is going up.
We have an urgent call for help from Montgomery. Montgomery needs volunteers badly, manpower. Volunteers are asked to go to the Borough Hall in Montgomery. That's at 24 Montgomery Street.
I just got this in from the Lewisburg Civil Defense. Within a half hour, Lewisburg will be completely surrounded by water. There will be no way in and no way out.
Watsontown prepares for a long night, while Montandon Civil Defense ceases its operation.
The Watsontown Fire Hall and Watsontown Borough Building will be manned all night tonight.
Civil Defense in Montandon, abandoning all rescue operations that entail the use of a boat. They will help people if they can get to them without using a boat.
As earlier feared, Lewisburg is finally surrounded by water.
Lewisburg is completely surrounded by water. No one can go in or out of the borough of Lewisburg.
In what will prove to be a long night comes the first good news, that rainfall to the north of our area may be decreasing. WMLP weathercaster Vic Michael reports.
The rain is starting to abate, as we had forecast earlier this evening, from a southerly direction northward. Here at my home in the Muncie Hills now, the rain has stopped down to nothing more than a drizzle for the last approximate three-quarters of an hour to an hour. However, earlier this evening, as I reported, it was raining extremely hard, but that has now started to let up. If we can get several hours without too much more in the way of rain, the possibility of at least some of the smaller streams going down will become feasible. However, I must caution that we could still get some intermittent rain tonight, so I don't want anyone to get the idea yet that the rain has completely stopped in the area, but it is starting to ease off as was forecast, so that it appears that by morning we can be reasonably sure that it will be tapered down to nothing more than just a few sporadic showers. At least we can hope for that, and it's starting to appear that that's the way it's going to work. Rain is falling still quite heavily to the north and west of our area, out toward the State College area and up in the mountains. They're still getting heavy rains up in that area, and that's the watershed area for the Susquehanna. So it's not going to help the river situation out very much, but it may help the slackening off of the rain here in our immediate area, some of the smaller streams, which could open up at least some of the roadways to make rescue efforts a little bit easier of getting in and out of some of the towns. The late reports that I have here now is that all of the towns along the river are virtually isolated now, and things are becoming more serious by the minute. I hope that everyone will take this to heart and take whatever precautions are necessary so that we can avoid as much loss of life as possible.
One of many rescue efforts to be repeated throughout the disaster is reported to WMLP News.
There was a girl, there were two people trapped in the Shamokin Creek. They were clinging to a tree. A girl by the name of Cynthia Honecker, I believe this name is correct, was in there. She was hanging, clutching fast to a tree. The last they saw her, she was swept away, and they had given her up for possibly being drowned.
she was in the water 14 hours. An Army helicopter came over, spotted the girl, picked her out of the water, took her to Bloom Hospital, where she is now listed in satisfactory condition. Now that, to me, is a story that it's almost a miracle.
This is WMLP Milton. You're listening to The Agony of Agnes. Through Thursday, June 22nd, it is apparent to the staff of WMLP that our broadcasting operation in downtown Milton studio is in jeopardy. The Susquehanna River is pouring into downtown Milton and around the building which houses the studios of WMLP. As the midnight hour is reached and Friday morning begins, WMLP's JJ has been on duty for over 18 hours. He recalls his apprehensions at that time.
Well, I got here about 5:45, luckily that morning, after coming through creeks and lakes that I thought would have never been there. And, of course, was on the air practically all day into the wee small hours of the morning. Of course, I was spelled off by the other personnel here from time to time, and I would keep going down and checking. I'd walk down to Lincoln Park and see the water starting to come into Lincoln Park, and then I would watch it come down Front Street and up Broadway, and all of a sudden, the waters just met at Broadway and Bound Avenue, and it gave you such a eerie, weird, strange feeling to think, here I am, I'm in this building, you know, until the waters recede, and the smell of fuel oil was all about, and it was really an eerie, horrible feeling.
If you were listening early that Friday morning, you heard the announcement that Don Steese and John Knight had made it to the east bank of the Susquehanna River.
We just had some more good news that John Knight and Don Steese have made it to our transmitter site high on the hill below West Milton, and they are standing by over there and setting up battery-powered equipment. So should the power fail here in Milton, or things just get too rough here in the YMCA building, we are going to make an attempt to stay on the air. We have John Knight and Don Steese safely sequestered, if we can put it that way, and they are sequestered, at our transmitter site high on a hill south of West Milton.
Little did we realize that we would, in fact, have to abandon the downtown Milton studios, moving the entire operation to the transmitter site, atop a hill on the other side of the river.
The Borough Hall phone in Milton is out for any emergency calls to the Milton Borough Hall. You'll have to call the National Guard headquarters of the junior high at 742-7618.
The situation is like this during early Friday morning.
At Renovo, on the headwaters of the West Branch, moderate rain. The rain gauge is underwater. The river reading up there, 20.60 and rising. Danville at 11 p.m., 24.53 feet and rising. Light rain at Danville. Hills Grove on the upper Loyal Sot, 14.25 feet on the Sot. The highest in their memory, but only a light rain there at this time. And that indeed is encouraging. The fact is only a light rain. Muncie is raining about 1/3 inch per hour. The Montoursville Bridge at 11 p.m. Of course, it's all covered by water, 15 feet and rising.
They are no longer able to read the gauge in back of the borough building because they cannot get out there to read it now. The last they read it was 27.5 feet.
Town of Watsontown, we're not forgetting you tonight. It's just that we didn't have the information until now. And here is the grim news for Watsontown. Flood stage in Watsontown is 17 feet. The crest forecast for Watsontown at 8 p.m. tomorrow night, 33 feet.
Unbelievably, the trapped family in Montandon are still on top of their home awaiting rescue.
Those people are now on top of their trailer roof with not much room left and no way to get off. We've got to have a boat to the Bucknell View Trailer Park. That's down below the Lewisburg Bridge. There are people trapped. A family is trapped on the roof of their trailer. The water is on the roof. So those people have got to be gotten out of there.
Once again, the plea is out, my friends. This morning, five people are trapped on top of a mobile home in the Bucknell View Trailer Court near East Lewisburg. And what we would like is a powerful motor. We have some men here from the Milton Fire Department who are willing to attempt to save those five lives. and all we need is a powerful motor.
The area around the Milton Borough Hall and Hellwig Sunoco in downtown Milton is described by Robert Michael.
I've just been over to the Milton Borough Hall, and there is 6 feet of water in front of the doors there. To give you an idea, the pumps in Hellwig Sunoco, the water is about halfway up the pump, so that gives you some idea where the water is. It's all completely over the park. Front Street is just a lake on both sides looking at it.
I know. You come back and you said to me, boy, I just saw a gory sight.
And that is the town of Milton is looking like a ghost town right now. The merchants in the downtown area have moved out. Their stores are vacated. And it's a real quiet, eerie feeling.
You are listening to The Agony of Agnes, a playback of tape recordings from actual on-the-air broadcasts made during the June 1972 flood disaster in the central Susquehanna Valley. It is now nearly 2 a.m. Friday, June 23rd, as Vic Michael continues to watch the changing weather situation.
The smaller streams, of course, will start to go down now that the rain is starting to slacken off, and we can expect some relief on the smaller streams. The main stem of the river, however, will continue to be a problem into at least tomorrow night and perhaps later, depending on just how much additional rain we do get. But it appears we are starting to get some relief. The rain has now slacked off to the point where all I can feel is a mist in the air up here, and the wind has been blowing, which is starting to dry things out a good bit up on the hill here. We hope that the forecast that we gave earlier tonight is going to continue to work out correctly, and that by tomorrow morning the bulk of the rain will be over.
Throughout the night, the stories continue to come in. Here's another.
Truck driver going west on Interstate 80. He was going back to his home in Ohio, and he happened to pick up WMLP, and he heard us making appeals for trucks. And he pulled off the interstate and came down to Milton and volunteered his services and his truck to help people here in Milton. Well, from out in Ohio.
And chances are he's stranded here.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Don Steese reporting on the truck driver story in Milton. That stranded family in Montandon, the word comes in that they are safe.
Why, this fella says they're just flying over the court, probably checking out to see. Maybe they think there are five people over there.
That could well be.
And maybe that's what they're checking for.
But the two definitely have been rescued.
Yeah, I believe that.
Okay. Al, thanks for talking to me, and the boats are on their way to you.
Sure.
Okay, just hang on.
Dry, we're okay.
Okay, Neil wants to talk to you again. Hang on.
Sure.
Okay, that's the conversation we had with Al Zielinski just moments ago. And Al lives in a home nearby where the two people were trapped on top of the mobile home for hours and were rescued by helicopter and flown to the EV hospital. We don't have definite confirmation on that, but from our
conversation... That's the actual broadcast as heard on WMLP early on that Friday morning of June the 23rd. Later, around 4 a.m., the pilot of that helicopter, Steve Brungard, tells about the rescue by telephone from Lewisburg.
Well, what I did, I didn't actually land on top of the mobile home.
I understand that.
I kept the skids light because the weight of the aircraft would have pushed through the roof. But in other words, I stabilized the aircraft light on the skids until my buddy Ray Bruin could get the people on board. And we took the first two over to Lewisburg to dry land, and they were picked up by rescue units over there. And the second one, the woman was inside the mobile home.
Was there a second one? This is something we hadn't known about.
There was a second trip. A single woman was inside her trailer. We didn't know about it either until the first...
And what is her name?
Oh, I have no idea. We just dropped her off and kept going.
I'll be darned. Well, see, originally we had the story. There were five people trapped on top of that mobile home. And when we had a call that two people were rescued, we had a call that you came back and circled around. But how did you find out about this person, this lady that was left in the mobile home there?
Well, the first two people that we picked up, they just said, hey, there's a woman in the next one, you know. So we just dropped them off and went back to the next one.
What a miracle.
We weren't even sure there was a person in there. The second time we circled low over, the woman inside flipped the light. And when someone was inside.
Oh, what a miracle.
So, I did the same thing again, and Ray, he jumped out with a rope, dropped a noose down to her, and she climbed into it, and he pulled her up on top, We even got her cat.
Her cat. Oh, that's wonderful.
On this night, and throughout that long June weekend, there would be countless heroes. Most of them will never be known. But we salute them all, the Steve Brungards, who did whatever they could to help during the emergency. There were many stories like this one from near Lewisburg, stories of people being helped and saved. One of those rescued by helicopter, Mrs. Ben Weaver, speaks for all of those who received assistance. Here by tape recording is the broadcast heard on WMLP at 4 a.m. that Friday.
Now, were you one of the people who was on top of that mobile
That's
home?
That's right.
Now, can you explain to our listeners the feelings that you had? How long were you on top of your home?
Since 10 o'clock.
Since 10 o'clock?
Yes.
And you were picked up about what time?
Was about 3.
What thoughts were going through your mind at that time?
I couldn't explain. All I kept looking was the lights over Bucknell College, and thought how close and yet so far. And I was looking for the boats.
And what is your name, ma'am?
Mrs. Ben Weaver.
Mrs. Ben Weaver.
Yes.
And Mrs. Weaver, how do you feel? I believe Al Zielinski yelled over to you and said, "Hey, help's on the way."
Oh, is that who it was?
Yes.
I didn't know who it was, but I hollered to thank God for that. And I'm telling you, prayer really helped.
I can imagine.
And we really did pray. Believe you me, we did pray because the water was at our feet.
Well, you can thank the two brave helicopter pilots who came in there and effected the rescue. That was really a fantastic job.
Oh, it was really something. I can't explain the feeling, and yet you face death right there.
Right.
Just wondering, and I said, well, we'll be the laughing stock, but I hope we can see the people that see them laugh at it.
And you did it, didn't you?
And we did it. And thank God, and thank the people, and thank the rescue squad, and everybody, and you folks there at the WMLP.
Well, you're certainly welcome. And where are you now?
Which floor are we at? The Bucknell?
Davis Gym, I believe.
Yes.
At Davis Gym.
That's right.
Okay, well, thank you very, very much for calling, and try to get a good night's rest.
Well, we're trying, but we're still shaking.
I can imagine.
Our nerves is just through everybody. So far as we know, I guess everybody is out because I screamed, I hollered, is everybody? We saw our deep freezes. We saw the tanks going down. We lost everything. Just about, I guess, maybe our trailer is gone now.
But the most important thing is that you and the mister
alive.
Are here.
Yeah, right? My hubby and I and Mrs. Jones that live next door, we're all safe and sound.
That was a miracle in itself, too, wasn't it?
Oh, you're not a kidding. They gave her a rope somehow. She put a rope around and they drug her through the water. She didn't lose her purse and stuff like that, but she didn't lose her life.
And Mrs. Weaver, how did you get into the helicopter?
They landed on our roof.
They landed on the roof.
Yes, and the roof was cracking, and we hurried up and got in before it gave away. So I don't know if we lost the trailer, if it sank in, or what. But we don't care. Our lives are saved, and we're safe. We can always replace that, but we can't replace our lives.
You said it all.
The late Neil Conrad, who was instrumental in getting help to the stranded people, reports that the operation is complete.
Called the Montana school to check and make absolutely sure that everybody was out of there now, the people brought out by boats, that everything is all finished up in Operation Rescue.
And see the floodwaters coming up Broadway, coming up Found Avenue. They're just about to meet and completely surround the building that we're in with floodwaters.
That night, as J.J. reports that the studios of WMLP in downtown Milton are surrounded by water, another WMLP employee, Don Cease, is thinking about the rescue of those three people in Lewisburg and about the loss of his own home, which was located near the rescue scene. He recalls that now.
I was working here at WMLP Radio, of course, during the entire flood, and I was on duty the night of the Weaver rescue. And at the time of the Weaver rescue was the time that I really realized that I had lost my home and all my possessions, because I had a mobile home in the same mobile home court with the Weavers, and the water was over the roofs of their home and the rest of the homes in the court from reports that we received from there. So I knew at that time that I had lost my home. But I don't think that the full realization of what really had happened dawned on me until several days later, when things were not necessarily getting back to normal, but when we could get into the to the court, and when we began the cleanup operations, we were so busy here at the radio station during the actual flood itself that I really don't think I thought about the actual personal consequences too much at that time. But when we actually got into the terrible, terrible job of going into your home and trying to clean up after the flood and see what you can salvage, I think that's when the real realization hit me. And also, there was a terrible period there when no one knew just how much aid was going to be available or what was going to be available or who was going to be able to get what or what the SBA was going to do. I think after a month or so, when the Department of Housing and Urban Development and the SBA began making loans and getting homes for people to live in, it got to the point where it wasn't quite as bad, but it was a terrible few weeks there when no one knew just who was going to be able to get water, just how much help we were going to be able to get, or who had insurance and who didn't have insurance. I think that was probably the worst time for me.
During those early morning hours, there had been some hope that a let-up in the rain was possible. But as the dawn of Friday, June 23rd breaks, Vic Michael gives a preview of the weekend weather.
We've got the latest official forecast, and we're continuing to carry rain right into Saturday now in the forecast with fairly high percentage values. As I reported earlier today, the tapering off of the rain tonight would take place from southeast to northwest, but the scattered showers would still be a possibility. It appears that they may be even more than that now with the latest forecast, and I can tell you sort of why the conditions are as they are. I also reported that the upper air flow pattern was going to be very stationary. It wasn't going to move very much. So while the remnants of the hurricane are now moving up off the up into the New England area, there's been another low pressure form that's still circulating around in this upper air low pressure system, and it appears that this is going to stay stagnant for another day or so. Now, how much moisture will be available to feed into that system is the only question mark at this time, but the chance for additional showers is still great, and so the worst is not over yet.
Suddenly, the WMLP studios in downtown Milton are without electricity. The voice you hear now is John Knight, who during this time sustains the broadcast on the other side of the river at the transmitter location.
Right now, we have the emergency generator set up at our studios at the YMCA building. Due to a power failure in Milton, we've got everything back in operation now except our control board. And as soon as that comes back in operation, we're going to turn things back over to our main control center again so that you can phone your calls in there and have them relayed without too much difficulty. And we are doing everything as quickly as possible to get all communications back so that you will have a place to call with your emergency messages.
Then, at 11 o'clock that morning, as John Knight speaks from the transmitter location, emergency power is turned on at the studios in downtown Milton.
Hello, hello. I presume that we're back on from the WMLP studios. Let's get the monitors on here so that we can determine, yes, we are back on from the studio. This is Vic Michael reporting from the WMLP studios. We do have our telephone lines are now ringing back here at WMLP. I just arrived by boat down the main street here in Milton. Conditions are frightful out there. As I drove down from my home in the Muncie Hills, the town of Exchange suffered a tremendous blow. Garages were washed away. It's an unbelievable sight out there. The water has receded on the creek that passes through there. On our way down here now, we just got in here, and they're still evacuating people out of Milton. It's a critical condition, and believe it or not, we saw sightseers trying to get into Milton to look around. Please, that's just the wrong thing to do right now. We will probably not have turntables for a few minutes here. So if you guys have any further information, do we have the teletype going yet?
Well, we're going to have to get some extension cords. And
all right.
I've got line 5 open to the
transmitter. Oh, the power just went off here. The power just went off here. There, we're back on again.
The power did go off there for a minute, and now it's back on. Jim, will you take over here?
Yeah, I've got line 5 open to the transmitter for you.
Okay, we are back on the air from the studio. The water, maybe Vic mentioned, is up to the first step in the lobby of the YMCA here in downtown Milton.
You're listening to a tape recording of a WMLP broadcast made on the Friday morning of June 23rd, 1972, during the agony of Hurricane Agnes.
Power at approximately 9:36 this morning.
Finally, the studios of WMLP in downtown Milton are evacuated, with everything and everyone moving across the river to the transmitter site just north of Lewisburg. Vic Michael describes the evacuation.
And I will just quickly run down what the situation is at the moment. I just came over from Milton. They've evacuated us from the YMCA building. We came out of there in boats. It was almost a harrowing experience just to get out in boats right now because the problems on the main road or the main streets there in town are just horrendous. The biggest problem, believe it or not, there are numerous people still in homes there. They're up in attics and so on, trying to hang on. They won't leave their homes, and they're getting people out now. They've got a lot of boats working right in the main street of Milton, trying to get people out. It's a very serious situation. The river is still rising. In fact, it's rising quite rapidly. From the time I arrived at the studios in approximately an hour, I saw the river, well, maybe it was more than an hour. I'm not sure the exact amount of time, but I saw in the brief time that I was at the studios, I saw the river come up almost a foot outside. Now, I'll give you some idea of where we're at on flood crests and so on. And people along the river, you'll be able, if you remember what the previous forecast was, and we have all this information with us and we'll be digging it out, but if you remember what your previous crest was forecast to be, I would add a couple feet to it, because the best reading we have is the following from Watsontown. They're still able to read their gauge at Watsontown. Now, they're not reading their gauge in Milton, and that's part of the problem, and communications are really terrible. They can't get a reading from Danville, according to information I saw on the weather wire. They were trying to get a relay to get a reading from the Danville area. Communications are very poor right now, and so it's difficult to tell. So you're going to have to gauge everything by the most accurate forecast we have, which is for Watsontown. Now, Watsontown, as of 12 noon, was 33 feet. It was still rising. And it was coming up a couple inches an hour. The forecast from the flood forecasting service, which came through approximately sometime right afternoon, was for 35 feet at Watsontown tomorrow morning at 2 o'clock. Now, there were some other readings there for Milton, but I'm almost certain they were obviously inaccurate because they were listing a very low crest, and they were listing it earlier than Watsontown, which I honestly feel is virtually impossible. So I think that's part of the communication follow-up, and it's a problem right now. So Watsontown looks like the best gauge to use for guessing or trying to predict what the river is going to be. On the basis of that, if we don't get any more rain, my best estimate now for Milton would probably be that we're going to end up, and it's going to be difficult to ever tell because of the fact that we'll just have to tell from high water marks and so on because they can't even read the gauge anymore. It'll probably be around 38 feet approximately. Now, that could vary a little bit one way or the other, and it will probably come about an hour after Watsontown. Now, Watsontown is forecast to crest at approximately 2 o'clock tomorrow morning. That means if we don't get any more sizable rain upriver, by 3 o'clock in the morning, the crest will probably be reached here.
Now broadcasting from the WMLP transmitter atop a hill on the west bank of the Susquehanna River, Robert Michael describes a further complication.
Well, the telephones through the Milton Exchange went out shortly after we began broadcasting at the transmitter site. Fortunately, the Buffalo Valley Telephone Exchange in Lewisburg reconnected us within minutes. Immediately, with the new Lewisburg numbers, we were besieged with calls again. My son, Bob Jr., and I stayed throughout the night to help answer the calls that came in and to try to find out what was happening in other towns along the Susquehanna. I had many calls from people who were panic-stricken, mostly because they could not communicate with relatives and loved ones. We did whatever was possible to keep these people calm. It was a real night.
A familiar voice to WMLP listeners, John Yingling, was absent until now.
Well, we were in New England, and we weren't paying much attention to the weather except the actual weather for the Cape Cod area until we were down in Hyannisport. And watching television on Thursday night, we heard that Harrisburg was experiencing the worst flood in its history. And I realized right away that if Harrisburg was having a flood, Milton was having a flood. So I didn't think anyone would be at the station. This was late Thursday night, so I waited till Friday morning and gave a call to the station. I was lucky to get a call through. It was one of the last calls to get into the area. And Bob Michaels answered the phone, and I said, "What's happening?" And he said, "We're about ready to evacuate the YMCA. Milton is having the worst flood in its history." Right away, we started back this way. We ran into heavy rain in Connecticut, and finally made it into Milton, over the shortwave bridge, and up to the transmitter finally to help you fellows in your broadcasting of flood-related activity.
Later, on Friday, June the 23rd, stabilization of the Susquehanna River is finally reached.
Well, we have the word there now, and we've had word from Watsontown there stabilizing. We had word from Milton, their rate of increase has steadily been declining. Clarence Frigger has been monitoring that for us. And also we had a report from the Evangelical Home. I think that's what you call it over here, across from the Evan Hospital. Their sandbags are holding there, and the increase they had in the last hour was only about an inch. So that things are pretty well stabilizing now on the West Branch, and the crests officially will be occurring all along the river during the next hour or two, and then we should start to see some decline. By the time daylight hits, we should start to see a little recession in the water.
Vic Michael reporting stabilization as the Susquehanna Valley braces for a long weekend, waiting for the river to return to its banks.
As this review of Agnes concludes, I'd like to review some of the staggering data of why the flood of 72 occurred. The month of June produced record-breaking rainfall. The greatest 24-hour amount of rain on record fell on the 22nd at the Weather Bureau at Williamsport, when 8.66 inches of rain was measured. The total for the month was 16.80 inches. And the most startling fact of all was that the largest amount of rain ever recorded in a single rainstorm was recorded during Agnes, with 13.52 inches falling between the evening of the 20th to the morning of the 26th. By the way, normal rainfall for the month of June is just 3.23 inches. And now, as to the final crest achieved in the flood of 72. Some controversy was bound to crop up on this score due to the lack of official observations during the flood. Official Weather Bureau sources and the Milton Evening Standard have published a 35.1-foot crest based on readings taken at the railroad bridge. The river elevation for this reading was recorded as 466.35 feet above mean sea level. Now, after extensive investigation, I've established the following facts. First of all, according to Army Corps of Engineer documents, which I have in my possession, they established the 1936 flood level at 469 feet above sea level. Now, this made the depth of the 36th flood 37.75 feet. We've also measured many of the watermarks between the 36 and 72 floods and find a very good correlation for a 15-inch higher level in the 72 flood. Now, this would establish the 72 flood at a depth of 39 feet. I've also consulted with hydraulic engineers who say this difference is understandable due to the effect of the bridge obstructing water under such a heavy flow. Such conditions, they assure me, made the bridge reading inaccurate in a negative direction. Thus, the 39-foot level was the most likely depth achieved at the crest. I mention this to put some perspective on the numbers that you heard during the flood broadcast. At the time of the crest, we reported an estimated 15-inch differential between 1936 and 1972. We reported a crest of 38 feet plus or minus 1 foot. Remember, no gauge readings were available to us after 27 and one-half feet. Now, in conclusion, I'd like to pass along a couple of personal remarks. You know, the whole Agnes episode has left a mark on my life forever. Like most of you, there are many times when I wonder about the usefulness of my life. And in the day-to-day operation of WMLP, day-to-day happenings follow a rather routine pattern which often become rather dull. But you know, after the uses the facilities of WMLP were put to during the Agnes storm, saving lives and property, I really couldn't help but feel that this was a moment for which I had lived and worked my whole life.
It has now been over 6 months since Hurricane Agnes swept through central Pennsylvania, causing destruction through the flooding of the Susquehanna River. Many are still living through the hardships caused by that storm. The rehabilitation of the area goes on, helped by federal, state, and local officials. We all hope that it never happens again. But if it does, if it must, let us hope that the same feeling of human understanding and cooperation will exist again, just as it did during June of 1972. Perhaps one of the most important things we can learn from Agnes is that most people still care about their fellow human beings, that most people realize just how much they depend on each other for their daily existence, that life is the most precious product we have. This is Paul Herbert, and this has been The Agony of Agnes, a public affairs production of WMLP.